to another episode of Defend the Nest. I know it's been a long time. I'm really sorry for that. It's just been a bit busy with work and motivation, and I'm currently nursing a shoulder injury, which has me on some not massively high painkillers, but some painkillers. So if you feel like I'm not making a whole lot of sense, then that's possibly the reason why. But we've got a lot to talk about. It's the tail end of the season and a lot of exciting things are happening. The Gulls are fighting for a playoff spot, but are looking in a good position right now. They are currently in the seventh spot. And let me look at that. They have a magic number of 7 currently. And Bakersfield, just ahead of them, have a magic number of 3, so they are next in line to clinch. And the chasing Tucson Roadrunners have a magic number of 18, so the Gulls are looking in a good spot right now. I'm actually hopeful that they could move up further, but we'll get to that later in the podcast. They also finally do not have a negative goal differential. They are now sitting at 0 goals for and against, so that is really good. Well, better than negative goal differential. That would be owing to their recent shutout victory over the Tucson Roadrunners, as well as the high scoring win over the Condors. So what's first to talk about? Well, we have when it rains it pours, we have a flurry of new black aces that have joined the squad, starting with Herman Traff, who he was acquired by the Ducks in the Brian Dumoulin trade at the deadline a couple of years back. The Devils, from what I've seen, or Devils fandom, are not happy about that trade. And yeah, the Ducks might have got a steal there. He did do very well in the Swedish tier below the SHL, so not the SHL, kind of the AHL version of the SHL. And that's why he was getting a lot of attention and turning some heads. But the transition to the North American game, especially for a forward, the different sized ice is always going to be difficult. And I think you saw bits of that in that first game he played against Tucson. I was excited to see how he went. And I'm not going to disparage or talk too negatively on that. But my notes from the game, let me just bring those up. Where have I put that? Here we go. My notes from the game on that. A couple of things I noticed. He, in the defensive zone, the goal zone, he sort of skated to the near side boards near the point and then sort of just stopped there where the puck rimmed around, came to the closer opposing team's forward. And it's as if he anticipated a back pass to try to intercept for a breakaway, but he just sort of just stayed there and didn't even go after the forward against the boards there. And I just found that really strange. There was just a couple of occasions where he was too far ahead or too behind a pass, that's just chemistry, but also sort of getting awareness of the size of the ice as well. And tried to show some of his size and toughness with a reverse hit on Montana Onyebuchi, but ended up on his ass, which is a bit of a rough welcome to the AHL, and he is one of the more tougher customers in the AHL, so there's no concerns there that anybody could get laid on their ass by that guy. But yeah, he just looked a little behind the pace, obviously not within the team chemistry, and that's fair enough. He doesn't know this team, coming from a completely different league, different sized ice surface, all of that. So it's going to take a while to ease him in, but it's good and exciting to have him here finally, and it's looking like he'll be with the Gulls next season. And if you don't know what he's like or what we can expect from him, I don't know if you've seen me mention on Twitter, but his write-ups, like when the Ducks acquired him, I just read as many write-ups as I could about him, and what they read to me is that he sounds like a Judd Caulfield to me. He's big, uses his size, but has also deceptive speed for a big man. Very quick on his feet. And not afraid to go to the net. So yeah, all of that, pretty much the Swedish Judd Caulfield. So, like I've said before, I don't think we'll see him in another game this season unless the Gulls lock up this playoff spot and feel like they're confident enough in their matchup with whoever they're playing with that they can maybe not worry so much about one of their six games that they've got left this season. So watch that space. Next was Roger McQueen, the Ducks' 10th overall pick in the last draft, who just played one and done in college, freshman year at Providence, and has signed an ATO but not an entry level deal as yet. He is, as advertised, very big and very fast. And I've seen a lot of attention on Twitter showing goals clips from the game where he was involved. There's the goal that Phillips scored, the last one, against the Condors, where Traff was right in front there and was credited with an assist on that. So I'm guessing the puck got to him at some point. And then, yeah, Felix has shared a clip from the game where he was only just denied from a nice feed out front from Matthew Phillips later on in the game, I believe it was. Or earlier in the game. I can't remember. That was earlier in the game, I think. But yeah, I wrote about that too. So yeah, he had a good debut and did not look out of place. And it's only going to be a matter of games, I think, before he's completely up to speed with the team. And he was already showing some good chemistry with Colangelo and Phillips on that line. And then it was just announced yesterday, Lucas Pedersen and Damian Clara are going to join the team on ATOs also. Or maybe not ATOs, but they're joining the team. I was surprised by Pedersen. He was a second round pick in 2024. And I've written about that. Where's that? Here we go. So from my draft, my 2024 entry draft profile, I just wrote that he is undersized by Verbeek standards. He's 5'11". And is more of a goal scorer than a setup man, but his two-way game is solid. And in comparison to other selections the Ducks have made, he was definitely a safe bet because he was due to go in the first round and the Ducks got him early in the second round. He's one of those ones that doesn't particularly excel at any one thing. He's just good at a lot of things, but also has no weaknesses. So the only thing I read was that he had a potentially a lack of consistency, which could be pinned on the fact that he was playing in a league that was probably too easy for him. And that's another surprising thing, is that he's coming across so soon, given he's just done a full year in the SHL, and he didn't do too badly, 20 points in 41 games, playing on the same team as a lot of ex-Ducks. So looking at that list, our good old friend Jakob Silverberg led the team with 43 points. Then you go down the list, I don't recognize too many other names. Oh, Kiefer Bellows was fourth, 30 points. Remember that guy. Nicholas Backstrom, sixth, 30 points. And then Pedersen was ninth on the team in scoring with 20 points. And that's only one above the tied with, remember Axel Anderson? Remember him? The second leading defensive scorer on that team. And also our good old friend Jack Kopacker, who was 14 points in 45 games. So basically that team is Ducks Light, or Swedish Ducks. Yeah, so surprised that he's coming across so soon, but not disappointed. It'll be fun to have another dynamic forward on the team next year, and we'll see how he does. He will get a look at the end of this by possibly the next game, because his point totals in the SHL are good enough to show that he can hang it in the AHL. He should be good. Where he slots in will be interesting, because I feel like all the girls players are playing really good lately, and it's going to be hard to find a spot or who to scratch. And then finally Damian Clara, who we're familiar with because he gave us a little taste last year, and if you watched the Olympics you saw him play a pretty good campaign there as well. So yeah, there's some excitement there, but I don't anticipate him being thrown in straight away. The goaltending is for the first time all year healthy and doing well. So both Suhanik and Klang are on top of their games right now, and I don't think we want to disrupt that, so I can't see Clary getting a game unless, again, like Trav, it's a game they can throw him in because they're feeling confident in their playoff position. So, rolling along, this is going pretty fast. I'll keep this close and short. Based on, so further to what I was saying about where Pedersen's going to slot in, the Gulls' current player depth is, it's nothing to be laughed about. So looking at Bakersfield's lineup for the last game that it's played, you got Pastor Joe off Carpenter at Bailey, top line. Bailey's been hot lately, Carpenter's been plugging along, and Pastor Joe is starting to get hot. So it's just the right time for that line to be going. Second line was Colangelo, McQueen, and Phillips. And, you know, we saw Phillips got a goal. Colangelo actually looked pretty good. And, yeah, McQueen was a good compliment. So I think they'll be kept together the next game. Third line, Nesterenko, Meshack, and Sidorov. Sidorov is starting to show a lot of his old self. Things that we've seen from him in the past, especially in his rookie season in the AHL. And it's good to see, because he sort of went off the boil for a bit there. And I put that on being on a line with Meshack, because Meshack is an absolute play driver. But again, like, who would you scratch off that line if you had to bring in Pedersen? I can't see any of them. And the fourth line, Majerovic, Burke, and Caulfield. So Majerovic has always been the easy choice to scratch, but I don't think you can lately. He's been too good. He was drafted as a defensive forward, and he has been proving that lately. He is integral when the Gulls are defending a lead, and he's showing a lot of good output lately, especially on the score sheet. So it's not even fair to think about scratching him right now. And as the same for Cal Burke. I mean, I've been probably his worst critic. But he has been playing out of his mind lately, and you can tell that he doesn't want to go anywhere or be sat again. And then Judd Caulfield, what can you say? You can never scratch that guy. He's too valuable. He's my favorite. I'll say it. It's my favorite goal. He works hard, great on both sides of the puck. His scoring has trailed off recently. But I mean, what can you say? He's been on the fourth line. So, honestly, I don't know who would get scratched to give Pedersen a spot. And on defense is interesting because Hines has been called up and proved his worth, and I think surprised a few Duck fans in terms of how ready he is, which I'm trying not to sound too, what's the word for it, arrogant, but I've known that all along. He's been ready. He and Luno are the most ready goals for the NHL. I know people keep saying, what about Solberg? He still needs another year, I think. He's shown a lot of development this year. I mean, this is only his first full year. But he'll still need one more year, I think. So, with Noah Warren out of injury, we've had Roman Canal coming in, covering for that. But with Hines now up in Anaheim, like I've said on Twitter, that means Connor Smith has to come in. And it just is slightly ironic that all these black aces that are coming in are all forwards or goalies, where the Gulls really actually do need some defensemen now. Not to disparage Connor Smith, when he's come in this year, he hasn't made any mistakes or done anything too bad. He's even had some good offensive chances, which was surprising because I never really thought that was part of his game. But he knows when to jump in the rush, and his shot is pretty good. It's pretty damn hard, pretty good. Yeah, so we'll see how he looks next game. His game is being rugged and tough, and it'll be if it's still the same situation where he's required, i.e. Hines is still with the Ducks, and Warren is still injured, by the season's end, when the Gulls face the Firebirds, then I'm expecting some fireworks, because, those two teams do not like each other, and I've been waiting for Connor Smith to answer the bell for a couple of grievances that they've done against the goals. And yeah, I've already spoken about the goaltending being in a good spot right now. So yeah, that's how things stand there. So looking ahead, the Gulls have 6 games left. First up against the Barracuda, who have had their number this season and have been playing really good lately. Yeah, Barracuda have won 1, 2, 3, 4 of the last games that the Gulls have played against them. And that's dating back to January. The Gulls last beat them in December and beat them in October as well. But currently, the Barracuda have the better record this season. And they just keep getting better and better. The Sharks organization are doing a pretty good job of filling out their ranks with some quality depth. So that's going to be a tough contest. But we'll see how they go. Given that they're starting to come on strong, it could be pretty close. And then after that, they hit Bakersfield twice. And although the Condors are ahead of them in the standings, as they so proved just the other day, they can't beat them. And I think they can do it again. It's got to be testy, though, because there was a lot of niggles during that game, particularly between Briard and Clattenburg. Let's see if that carries over. And then after that, it's Tucson, which it's a nice little, hopefully putting the file nail in the coffin by that point. And then Ontario and Coachella Valley to finish. So two very stringent tests as they head to the postseason, hopefully. And like I said before, they are currently in 7th, which would mean they would face the Eagles in the first round, which is not what they would like, I don't think. And not what I would like for them either. It's not an ideal matchup. So if they could leapfrog the Condors and go into 6th before season's end, then they would currently have a date with the Firebirds, which I think they have a good matchup against. So it sees how that is also very dependent on the final point scores, because San Jose is only 1 point behind them, and those two have been swapping places, I don't know, every other day for the last 2 months. So, yeah, it really does depend on, I think, the final day of the season, which makes it all that much more exciting. Anyway, that's all I've got to say. Sorry I've taken so long to get another podcast out. Hope you enjoyed. Feel free to follow me on Twitter. That's Defend the Nest SD, or X, whatever it is. Defend the Nest SD. I'm on Blue Sky and Facebook and Reddit, and of always defendthenest.com. Read my stuff on defendthenest.com. Please give me a follow. Give me shit on Twitter if you want. Anything. Thanks so much. Hope you enjoyed. Have a good one.